Okay. We're going to go ahead and try and finish up Revelation tonight. Last week, we were being shown around heaven by John. And he was telling us, as best he could, about what heaven might look like. And so let's continue our tour with John. And we'll pick it up at Revelation 21, verse 22. Revelation 21, verse 22. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." This 22nd verse is quite important. We are being told something here that I mentioned last week, but it's important that we need to look at this significant piece of information again. I understand that we each can worship God from anywhere on the earth. We don't have to be in any particular place to worship God. You can worship Him from wherever you are, in whatever condition you're in. But that is going to change. That is going to change. There's one more great change that has to take place, and it will take place. Right now, God is in all of His children. God is in you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because the Holy Spirit is living within you. He has indwelled you. You had no choice. He indwelled you the instant you believed, the instant that you looked up and saw Jesus Christ and you understood He died. He shed His blood on that cross for your sin. All of it. All the past sin, all the future sin. He shed His blood for the sins of the entire world there on that cross. There are times when I think about that. What that really means. What I personally did to Him. And yet He loved me. You had a part too. He died for your sins. And so the Holy Spirit, the instant that we believed that, the instant we believed that He was the Son of God, He did rise from the dead. The Holy Spirit gave Him new life, re-energized Him, you might say. Was a lot more than that. But at that instant that you believed, you opened your heart's door. Just like in Revelation, back in chapter 3, when He said, "I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone open the door to Me, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he with Me." And so the Holy Spirit was standing at your heart's door at that moment. And the moment that you put it all together in your mind, He came in. And He's been there ever since. So God is in you. But this 22nd verse tells us there's going to be another change. Let me reread it again. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." God cannot let us into Him. He cannot let us be a part of Him yet, because we are still sinners. And that's a shame. We don't want to be, I hope, we don't intend to be, but yet we are still sinners. So God cannot let us become a part of him, but in heaven, in this 21st and 22nd chapter that we're reading right now of the book of Revelation, the change is going to be that God won't no longer be in us. We will be in him. Where do you go to worship? Go to the temple. That's God. We're going to be in him, folks. And remember, you know, we still have, in my mind, I have great difficulty not having God split up into three people. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's one. He's one. He is one, not three. Each part that we see now has a various ministry, a different kind of ministry to us. But one day, it will all be one, and we will be in him. We still have interest in the world around us. And in some of the things of the world offers our loved ones and some things that we wish they were not involved in. We love them. We want them to be a part. We want them to experience what we are experiencing ourselves, the joy of the Lord in us. And yet they're not seeing it. When we're doing certain things, we are not thinking about God. We are involved in our stuff. And there's a lot of it, folks, because we're human beings. We are more mortal than you might think. I'm so glad that God made a difference. But when we're doing the things we like to do, we're not always necessarily worshiping God. Many times we're involved in our own things, and that is center. That's where we are focused. We have tunnel vision. We are concentrating on that. And it might be a person, it might be an activity, it could be any number of things. But we're not thinking about worshiping God. There is a time coming, folks, when that's all we'll be doing. All we'll be doing. And I cannot really imagine this. I know it here, having an understanding of it here is a little different. All those things that I like doing and am interested in, they're all gonna pass away with the old heaven and the old earth. And we're gonna forget about all those things. We will not remember them. We're not going to remember anything that would be considered old. Nothing. We will not remember our mates, our loved ones. We will recognize them, but all of our attention, instead of being focused on things here, will be focused on him. And that will make the difference. We'll recognize our loved ones as souls created by God and redeemed, but we'll not have the same relationship with them. God will no longer be in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, but we will be in God. We're going to be in the Holy Trinity. Think of that. Think of that. God will be the focus of our attention, and there'll be no distractions in heaven. We're told that God and the Lamb are the temple of heaven. Keep in mind that He is one God with different manifestations. Let's move a little deeper into this thing we're seeing called heaven. Revelation 21, 22. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Wow. In the beginning, going back to the first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And that light was Him. And that light has been Him ever since. And once again, as we come to the close of what we understand as time and existence, once again, He becomes the light. There's so much to remember in this chapter. Of course, there'll be no sun or moon. We've just been told that. They were dissolved before the new heaven and the new earth were created. God was the source of light before the sun existed. And He's the source of light after the sun no longer exists. Jesus called Himself the light of the world. And that is what He is. But that's a relationship you and I have not seen yet. We haven't, but we will see it. Revelation 21, 24 through 27. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Suddenly, folks, if we get a little glimpse of joy on Sunday morning when we're hugging and welcoming each other, if we get a little glimpse of joy at that point, just imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. Wow. I see something here that is a little unexpected. I see nationality as continuing in heaven. I see natural custom as being part of our activities in heaven. I also see respect for the authority of station. Respect for kings, and somehow we'll recognize their position. Perfect and direct communication with God will more than supply the place of the gospel in these situations. And what words can more fully express the union and co-equality of the Son with the Father in the Godhead? What a dismal world would this be if it were not for the light of the Son? What is there in heaven that supplies its place? The glory of God lightens that city. And we can't imagine that right now. What do you look for this time of year when you wake up? Is the sun up? Is the sun up? Is light shining in? Folks, imagine living in the light, the real light, the pure light. The light of God. John is really giving us a tour here of what we can expect. There'll be no night. No night. Now, if you're, what would the word be? If you like to sleep, I don't want to use that word slothful, okay? But if you just like sleep, not going to happen anymore. We won't need it. We won't need it, folks. We'll never get tired. Never get tired. Never get sick. No pain at all. Never get old. My, what a time to look forward to. And here we will be living in a place that will be filled with the glory of God. There'll be nothing bad there. Nothing sinful or unclean or idolatrous or false or deceitful can enter. That's what we're told. All the inhabitants are made perfect in holiness. Now, saints feel a sad mixture of corruption which hinders them in the service of God at times. There are times when we know we are not qualified to serve Him, because we're not living pure lives separated from the things He says are sin. But that will not be that way in heaven. There will be no sin. Nothing unclean can enter heaven, and so let's be stirred up by these glimpses of heavenly things. To use all diligence and to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That brings us to chapter 22. Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know, today, I don't know how many of you traveled much or have traveled. Many times when I have come to some great river that I've been looking forward to seeing, it's no longer clear. It's muddy. It's brown usually. There have only been a few times. Excuse me. There's only been a few times in my travels where I have seen a river that was crystal clear. One of the rivers that I can think of was at Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. There is some little creek there running down. It is crystal clear. It looks like it's about that deep. And I remember I and my brother jumping into it, and it was almost 7 feet deep. It was that clear we could see the bottom. And it was cold. Oh, it was cold. Here we have in heaven a new situation, a river that is crystal clear. Everything in heaven is going to be pure and clean. Everywhere we look, there will be no trash. There'll be no clutter. Nothing is muddy here in heaven. They have a throne because they are God. They deserve a throne. I refer to them as they, Because even though there are three personalities, they are just one God. By the time that we get to heaven and the old world and the old heaven are no more, their care taking of us will be no more. They will not have to take care of us anymore. We'll have everything we need. Everything. Their work is done. Now it's our time to work as we praise them, as we worship them, as we sing holy, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah. That's our future life, folks, in heaven with God. There'll be no more evil or sin of any kind, because the enemies of God are all in the lake of fire, where they will stay for all of eternity. God at this point has everything planned out. God is doing his plan. God's plan is right on track right now. We might not agree with what we're seeing around us, but remember, God is the one who's in control. Revelation 22:2. In the midst of the street of it, we're still talking about the river, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yield her fruits every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I am impressed by the fact that John addresses the nations, the cultures, in heaven. They're not going to dissolve. There's going to be a place for them. The tree of life is part of heaven. And this is one of those places where we have to consider all of the language that's being used. First of all, the nations will be present and the cultures will be evident. The leaves of the tree of life will be used to perfect the nations. The Holy Spirit is present, but not working as he did on earth. As I read this last chapter, I see the Spirit doing just one more thing toward the end of the chapter. And I'll point it out when we get there. The Holy Spirit has just one more job to do by the time we get to heaven. Our work is over. Now we have just the privilege of worshiping and praising God as Father and as Jesus Christ as they sit on their throne. They have bailed us out for the last time. When they took us to heaven, that was their way of bailing us out. Now they just have to accept our praise. Revelation 22:3-5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Folks, we have a job. Talk about job security forever. The servants are most likely to be the angels from heaven. We will all see his face. We will adore that face because it's God's face and the face of Jesus, our Savior. We will be sealed as belonging to God and to Jesus. And I think that the Holy Spirit will have done that when he saved us. He sealed us when he saved us. But we will not be able to see it until we get to heaven. Look at the folk, the people next to you. Do you see anything imprinted in their forehead? No. It's invisible. But when you get to heaven, it will be visible. You know, there are times when you can't see things under infrared light. They talk about black light, and black light makes such a difference. You can see things that are here, but you can't see them with these eyes. You got to have heavenly eyes. And God's going to give that to us. We're going to hear things that we don't hear here. We're going to see things. We're even going to smell things. It's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience. And those who have gone on before us are already there experiencing this. Revelation 22:6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Remember that John was being shown about by one of God's angels. And God is also showing John what is going to take place so that he could tell us. I believe that all beings will be God's servants at this point. We will have nothing else to do but to serve our Lord. Revelation 22:7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Jesus intercedes to let John know this one important thing. This is probably one of the most misquoted sayings, and I think I mentioned it last week in the Bible. Jesus doesn't say that he's coming soon. He says he's coming quickly. And if you think back over your life, God has been acting quickly. Suddenly, here we are in a situation. And that's the way that God operates. There's also a warning here for all of us. It's live in the book, Revelation 22, 8 and 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he to me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Folks, this is to be our life. Our life. In the 70s, as recently as the 70s, the church was the center of the family. Not anymore. Not anymore. The operative word in these verses is fellow servant. Fellow servant. We will all be serving God based upon this statement. Revelation 22:10-11. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. John is not to seal up the book, for there is still some time to come. And so far, that time to come, from when he was told not to seal the book, has been over 1,900 years. But it's not over yet. When it happens, it will happen quickly, just not soon. Revelation 22, 12 through 14. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates to the city. John is saying all of those who have believed on Jesus are fixed and headed for eternal blessings. Jesus was the first, and he's going to be the last when we enter eternity. We will experience eternity past, before anything else was before God, and we will also be living in eternity future when we go to be with Jesus. You see, there is an eternity past. There's a time when God was. Nothing else. There will be an eternity future where we will be living with God. Those are things we can look forward to. Verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters who loveth and maketh a lie. Yes, they're all living in the lake of fire. Living in the lake of fire. They're not being annihilated by the lake of fire. There is absolutely nothing to contaminate heaven. Verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. That's why we're studying this book. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There is the last thing that the Holy Spirit has to do. Call us. It's in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And that is the last act that we see of the Spirit in the Word of God, as he invites us to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. This is the reason that we know the Bible is complete. Jesus himself said, it's finished. The Holy Spirit has done everything he needed to do. If you hear somebody say they have a prophecy from God, run just as fast as you can in the other direction. No matter who they are, it is ended. It is all written. God says right here, it's not possible. Revelation 22, 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And if you are in a church that does not preach the entire word of God, but says some things are not true or they're not of God, again, run. Just as fast as you can. Because God has given us this word. Revelation 22, 20 through 21. He which testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And verse 21 is the blessing that is promised to all of those who read this book of Revelation. Hear the words of the book. Now we're early tonight. Questions. I'm ready for you, Michael. What you want to know?
No. I questioned whether or not I've looked at the word quickly and how it's translated in various translations, but I keep wondering, could it possibly mean suddenly?
Yes, it could. Yes, it could. And it will not be something that occurs gradually. It will be now. And he will be here. This is a fantastic book. It is alive. It can answer any question we might have about what God wants us to do. And so many times I hear people say, well, I don't really know what God wants from me right now. Well, one of two things. If you do not know, get on your knees by yourself. And when you do, have this book open in front of you. It is so wonderful to look at God's word and see what it says to you. I just opened it up here in front of me to Psalm 83. And it says, keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against the hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And folks, we're still here. Israel is still there. God is still on the throne. So we need to spend time talking to him. You would talk to a friend, wouldn't you? He is a friend. Yes, but he's a lot more than that. Yes, Shirley. 27:22. All right, that word healing, I had to look that up, Shirley. And it means the perfecting of the nations. They are well when they get to heaven, but they need perfection. We will all be perfected, and we could call that healing. Okay? We're not going to need any physical healing, but we will need some perfecting. And now I hope nobody here gets disappointed thinking that you're there already. You're not. But when we are translated, and that's the way we're going to go, when we are translated between earth and heaven, we will be perfected in that time. But there will be no more time. And this is something that I can't imagine the Trinity. I can't comprehend it. I have tried. It's like looking at the moon and trying to see it as a globe orbiting the earth rather than just a flat two-dimensional or single-dimensional object up there. It's very difficult to comprehend it as being a sphere. I don't fully understand the Trinity. I can't really put that together completely in my mind. And the other thing I have difficulty with is understanding how we will exist without time. We're not going to be freeze-framed. things are going to go on, but there will be no medium of time.
Okay. Because if
you have spirit. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Okay. We have a body on this earth.
Right.
But the spirit, there is no time. Right?
There is time right now for the spirit because he's living here on earth.
I mean, the spirit is on earth, but the spirit has always existed.
But the spirit is, their spirit is part of God and he is eternal.
Right.
So He is living in time just as Jesus lived in time. Jesus was born in time. He had to enter into time in order to do the job he needed to do, which was rescue us and buy us back from the devil. So he lived in time. He was 33 years old. That indicates time when he died on the cross of Calvary. Yet when we get into eternity, there is no time. Now, Shirley, you experienced a similar thing a year ago when you lost your husband that I experienced 4 months ago when I lost Connie. At that time, they departed. They're not living in time anymore. They're with God. There is no time, not with him. He's eternal. I can't comprehend that. I know it's true because the Bible tells us all through this that we're dealing with forever, we're dealing with eternity, but we do not understand it. How do we understand that God, when he created man, and he created that first cell of the man was created mature. He wasn't created as a baby or two cells coming together as it happens at conception. The first man and the first woman were created complete. Time was just beginning. Time is a created substance. And time is going to come to an end. My Bible tells me in the book of Revelation, and time will be no more. And that's true. But I don't understand it. But I believe it. Any other questions? Yes, go ahead.
Jesus said no more time, so there will be no night or day in heaven.
That's right. We just looked at that tonight. There will be no night there. The gates will never be closed at night because there won't be one. I am a person that likes a schedule. I don't know how many of you are like that. I like a schedule. I like to operate on a schedule. I wake up in the morning without an alarm, at the latest by 6 o'clock. With an alarm, I many times will get up at 5 or so. I have a schedule. I have certain things I do. When I wake up, I get out of bed. I'm a morning person. I like mornings. There are people who are not morning people. They're sort of stumble around and move slowly. I like a schedule. I like to do things at certain times. And yet, there will be no time in heaven. How am I going to keep my schedule? You know what? I won't need a schedule. My schedule will be praise the Lord. My schedule now is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving me a new day. Help me use it well. And then I get busy doing my stuff and I forget. And God reminds me from time to time. Hey, why don't you do this instead? And so we have a God that loves us more than we'll ever know. He is always there, always. And we might think we know a better way of going about things. We might have our plans. I have plans. But I also know that God has plans for me. And if they're not the same, my prayer is, may your will be done, God, in my life. And I'm going to see how my plans work out. I want God's, yes.
I have an unrelated question. Can we get the our prayer schedule for Monday back out so people that aren't signed up can sign up?
Certainly. I thought about, I'm looking at it, it's sort of tattered. I think I'll make up a new one. It's in my computer, and the blank one, that is. And I'll make up a new one, and folks can sign up. Yeah, because we've lost some folks that can't pray any longer, and who did. And maybe some of you want to pray more often or at different times. And that'll be fine. Yeah, I will try and have that this week. I've got a doctor's appointment in the morning, so I will not be here first thing, but I will be here tomorrow when I get done at the doctor's. And folks, we're going to try and follow God's leading for the ministry here. We need to start working on the video part of it. We need to, there's a lot of different things. Some of you folks can be involved in that. The Lord has given you experiences that maybe you can share with somebody somewhere in the world. It would be of help to them. And he may bring other people in because of the ministry to be a part of it. And folks, we'll be able to reach out into anywhere in the world. That is such a fantastic thought. Yes, we've got missionaries in different places right now serving. We are going to become missionaries here at home. Reaching out into the world as God gives us this ministry, this video ministry. And so that's something we can work on for the balance of this year. When we get everything together, all of us are going to have to do some learning if we want to be a part of it. I want you all to be a part of it. And not just because you're sitting here when we're having a service and streaming it and the camera swings around and shows you, okay? I want you to have a part in it. To reach out. God has given you experience. And he has not given it to you by accident. He has given it to you to learn from and to share. We talked about sharing this morning, giving. Every one of us has an opportunity to share something. Any other questions? Yes.
How many prophecies remain unfulfilled?
The unfulfilled prophecies right now, as far as the Christian is involved, all the prophecies are fulfilled except the coming of Christ for his church, the rapture. As far as the Jews are involved, there are a lot of prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet with the Jewish people. They have not really taken possession of the land that God promised Abraham. When Jesus comes back, they will take full possession of that land. The Antichrist will help them to do it. And halfway through, he will turn on them. And he will offer himself as God in the temple. The temple will be rebuilt. The temple will be rebuilt on the rock, on the where the Dome of the Rock is right now. Yes?
But isn't the New Jerusalem going to come out of heaven? And what will the temple do?
No. When New Jerusalem comes out of heaven, all of this earth will be gone. All of the promises to Abraham will be gone. Everything will be gone. That New Jerusalem, the temple of the New Jerusalem, will be God himself. A lot of questions, right? God wants us to know. Yes. I'm not familiar with that particular passage. It may be talking about some kind of a association or some type of a merging of the governments or the authority of those under or in preparation for the Antichrist. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the particular passage that you're referring to. Okay, that all right, that'll be fine.
Isaiah 19:18, in that day, cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts. Is that what you're referring to?
No.
Okay. But I got it wrong.
Okay, all right. When you find it, let me know and I will try and find an answer for you. Okay? Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for sharing with us your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit living within us to guide us, to use us, to direct us. And Father, yes, to empower us because we need your strength. We are of all people most weak. So, Father, as we come before you, as we bring our prayers to you, our petitions, may they be according to your will. May your Holy Spirit direct us and guide us as we talk with thee, as we petition thee, and, Father, as we serve thee. Keep us close to thee, Father. Use us to glorify yourself, and may your will be done in the life of everyone here in this room during this next week. And we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.